So what we've done in the playbook is we've previewed all 145 stocks under our coverage universe. So we've taken your feedback on board, as similar to the last playbook, really concentrated on a one-page summary of the companies, 3 to 4 key points of what to look for in the results, and then also how our numbers compare to consensus. So really taking all your feedback on board. So hopefully that will be very beneficial to you through reporting season. On top of that, we've nominated 38 stocks that we think will provide either upside or downside surprise at the upcoming results. So in fact, 27 stocks that could surprise positively and 11 that could be potentially missed. So what Tom and I will do this morning is walk you through the document, what some of the key themes are, and just given the length of the publication and 145 stocks. So over the next couple of weeks, the sector analysts will be walking through their themes, what they expect to see play out under their coverage, and also what they expect to see in terms of surprise and miss candidates under their coverage. So in terms of the key themes, what we're looking for is what happens with 23 numbers, particularly what the assumptions are baked in for the second half of FY23. The China reopening, we think, will be a theme that will be talked about quite extensively through reporting season, but also for the rest of this year. So we think it's going to be one that's going to stay with us. Positioning and resources, likewise, consumer demand and the resilience of the consumer, and short interest, and why it's important not to ignore short interest this reporting season. So firstly, on the market correlation, I showed you this chart a couple of weeks ago, just looking at how correlated essentially the market is. So it looks at the pairwise correlation between stocks on the ASX 200, so how closely they align, how closely they move together. So the higher the number is, the more correlated the market is, a more macro-driven market. The lower the number, it's more a fundamental market. Now, we've argued that some of the macro factors driving the market in FY22, higher inflation, higher interest rates have now been settling down. And we think that this year is going to be a year that's really going to be more defined by fundamentals rather than big macro shifts. So we think fundamentals are going to be far more important. And we've already seen that since I showed you this chart 2 weeks ago, that correlation between stocks has actually fallen quite significantly. So we think this reporting season is going to provide plenty of opportunities to really differentiate company performance. So of the 145 stocks I've talked about, there's 14 large cap surprises and 24 potential small cap surprises. So the team think that retail and healthcare are the most likely to surprise either in the upside and downside. So well-held names such as Beacon, Coles, Lovisa, Universal, Woolworths, Ramsay and Sonic all tipped to either surprise or disappoint at the upcoming results. But I urge you to have a look at the playbook, and analysts will cover that in more detail. In the report, we also looked at the current read-throughs from US reporting season, because we think it's a lot of the themes that are playing out in the US will be reflected here in Australia. I think what it's showing you clearly, the US earnings season is a softer picture. We're seeing a smaller number of surprises on the upside and a greater proportion of misses. So EPS is likely to decline by about 5 to 6% in Q4. So just given the market pricing and how the US market has performed over the last month, we think it is shrugging off the bad news, and perhaps that bearish positioning into the US reporting season really playing out now, where I think some of those expectations are well thought about, and it's playing out in the price reactions now. So in fact, positive EPS surprises are 1.5%, while earnings misses are basically flat. So an earnings miss is not really being punished in the US. So I think that it tells you that bearish positioning, and we've seen that in tech positioning. I think Bank of America's institutional survey points to something like a 2 standard deviation lower positioning in the tech sector for institutional managers. So it shows you, Tesla really rallying 30% from the result just goes to show just how bearish they were to that part of the sector. And now with inflation coming off slightly, And with interest rates settling down, I think that the pressure on valuations is not quite there, and the market has liked that, obviously. Here locally, we've talked about this in quite some detail, so I won't dwell on it. A lot has been made on our earnings estimates and the need for that to really come back. Well, we think there's enough conservatism really built into the numbers, and it suggests that we're only going to see a slight trimming of EPS growth this year, not an outright collapse. Reasons for that are we're not seeing a whole lot of guidance in our market still. At the end of August reporting season, we saw 16% of companies provide some form of quantitative guidance. As of today, we see about 22%, so less than a quarter of companies providing some form of quantitative guidance makes for some pretty conservative estimates by the street, and hence why we're not seeing the same magnitude of EPS declines or revisions that we're seeing over in the US or in Europe. Add on to that the fact that inflation concerns and what inflation has done in Australia is nowhere near as acute as what we've seen in Europe and the US. And, you know, we're not seeing the same type of wage pressure that we're seeing over there as well. So I think we're in a pretty good position, and we're forecasting a slight trimming of EPS revisions. Growth for FY23 for just the industrials, if we strip out resources, is for 5.5% EPS growth. And then following flat years in FY24 and FY25. So I don't think EPS estimates are particularly onerous. So I do think it's just going to be a matter of more trimming. But having said that, given flat earnings growth in 24 and 25 means that there are going to be some winners and losers. So it is going to be a fundamental market. It's not going to be a really macro, broader market rally, just given the growth profile and where the current market multiple is trading at. The other theme that we talk about is the China reopening. We think this is only getting started. Over the weekend, the China Ministry of Transport gave some statistics about combined air and rail travel over the Lunar New Year period. It's back at 81% of 2019 levels, and compare this to half the levels over the past 3 years, so in 2020, 2021, and 2022. So we do think, you know, China is bouncing back stronger than the market anticipates, and we are seeing some commentary out of some luxury European brands pointing to some pretty strong thematics over in China. In fact, LVMH talking about in Macau, where the Chinese can now travel, the change has been quite spectacular. Stores are full and it's really coming back very strong. Burberry said there's very promising signs in China, and even Swatch saying sales growth in January reinforces the group's expectation to aim for a record year in 2023. So very positive commentary coming out of China. So this should bode well for our China exposed names. Belinda has called out Webjet, Flight Center, Treasury Wine Estate, Corporate Travel, to name a few, as key beneficiaries of that thematic. And finally, before I just hand over to Tom, another thematic that that hasn't been talked about for some time, and I don't think investors can really ignore this reporting season, just given some of that trading that we've seen in the US and short covering rallies, particularly in some of those tech names, is just looking at short interest. What we've seen is short days to cover nearly double from 2.7 days across the ASX to 4.9 days. Now, the short days to cover the ratio is basically an average of how long it takes based on liquidity to cover short position for an average stock. And you can see that nearly doubling. So that's going to potentially make for some pretty volatile trading over the reporting period, particularly in some of those highly shorted names. You know, if you look down the list of highly shorted names, you will notice there, Nick talked about it in his Megaport result, you know, names like Megaport, REA, NextDC, Breville, Domino's, so a lot of high growth names are very high up in you know, the short selling list. You know, names like Megaport 6 months ago was 5% short, now it's 10% short. You know, REA and NextDC, I don't think I've ever seen, you know, in that high in the list before. So it goes to show you the very bearish positioning. I guess, once again, investors are thinking that you're going to see some pretty bad news out of those high growth names. But, you know, if the trends hold and what we see in the US, that expectations are so low, that low bar, you know, earnings reset dynamic also plays out here, then we could very well see some short covering rallies also in Australia. What's notable as well is some of those names that are no longer on the list. So historically, we've seen Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Super Retail Group, City Chic and the like. So a lot of cyclical names in there. They're no longer present in the top 20. In fact, they've fallen well down the list as well. So perhaps, you know, enough of that bad news that's been priced in, and just given what we've seen with the trading updates from Super Retail and JB Hi-Fi, it shows you that perhaps, you know, those earnings expectations from the retailers are probably just a bit too bearish. So that's one to watch for. We've got a full list of names and other themes that we talk about. But with that, I might hand it over to Tom just to talk about some other themes that we expect to see.
Just quickly on resources, we have updated our tactical approach to the sector in the playbook. What I would summarise here is that, like Tangi mentioned, fundamentals matter in 2023 more than the macro, and I think more than sentiment. And I think what we've seen in commodities just recently is probably sentiment move a touch ahead of fundamentals. And you only need to look at the energy space to see some pretty dramatic volatility there unfolding over the last few days and the last week. We've seen a much warmer than expected winter in Europe. We've seen a plunge in European gas, power and energy prices overall. That's been good for equities on the industrial side, but we're starting to see some of that weakness come back into the Asian market. I believe the coal price is down something dramatic in the futures market. Spot market should be much better, but I would suggest we'll see some pretty dramatic volatility in this space through the course of the year, because I think metals prices in some segments probably have run a little bit ahead of some very, very bullish sentiment around China. And I would say that there's probably a lot of investors in the sector that aren't natural long-term owners or long-term inhabitants of the sector that could easily take that money out just as quickly. So I guess overall, expect volatility and have a plan. Use these amazing products to your advantage through what could be a really interesting period.